whose experience of spiritual ecstasy is unchanging. Atta thus upavite. It is understood by comparison. Dravina of material substance. Jati in the categories. Vikalpa of the transformations. Atai with the varieties. Vitata contrary to fact. Mana of the mind. Vilasa fantasy. Rita real. Iti so. Abhayanti think. Abuddha, the unintelligent. Translation. Since this universe did not exist prior to its creation, and will no longer exist after its annihilation, we conclude that in the interim, it is nothing more than a manifestation imagined to be visible within you, whose spiritual enjoyment never changes. We liken this universe to the transformation of various material substances into diverse forms. Certainly, those who believe that this figment of the imagination is substantially real are less intelligent. Purport. Having thus defeated all attempts of the ritualists to prove the substantial reality of material creation, the personified Vedas now present positive evidence to the contrary, that this world is unreal in that it is temporary. Before the creation of the universe and after its dissolution, only the spiritual reality of the Supreme Lord, along with his abode and entourage, continue to exist. The Shrutis confirm this. Atma Bhagidam Eka Ebhagra Asit, which means, prior to the creation of this universe, only the Self existed. Aitare Upanishad 1:1. Nasad asi no sad asi tadami, which means, at that time neither the subtle nor the gross aspects of matter were present. Rig Veda 10:129:1. One can understand the relativity of creation by an analogy. When basic materials like clay and metal are processed and shaped into various products, the created objects exist separately from the clay and metal only in name and form. The basic substance remains unchanged. Similarly, when the energies of the Supreme Lord are transformed into the known things of this world, these things exist separately from him, only in name and form. In the Chandogya Upanishad 6:1-4-6, the sage Uddaraka explains a similar analogy to his son. Yata Sovyakena Britpindena Sarabrin Mayam Vigyata Syadvacharampanam Vikaro Namaje Deyam Ritikate Yeva Satyam. For example, my dear boy, by understanding a single lump of clay, by understanding a single lump of clay, one can understand everything made from clay. The existence of transformed products is only a creation of language, a matter of assigning designations. The clay alone is real. In conclusion, there is no convincing evidence that the things of this world are eternal or substantial, while there is overwhelming evidence that they are temporary and conditioned by false designations. Therefore, only the ignorant can take the imaginary permutations of matter to be real. Srila Shiva Swami prays, Mukuta Kundala Kankana Kinkani Paramitam Kanakam Paramartata Mahad Ahankriti Ka Hamukam Tata Narayana Param Paramartata. Transformations of gold, such as crowns, earrings, bangles, and ankle bells, are not ultimately separate from gold itself. Similarly, the material elements headed by the mahat, false ego, and ether, are not ultimately separate from Lord Narahari. I'll read the verse again. Nayadidam agra asa na vakishya atonidhana Alumitam antara twai vibhati vishaykara se Ata upam yate kavina jati vikalpa pantaya Vitata mano vilasam ritam it yara yant yapurha. Since this universe did not exist prior to its creation, and will no longer exist after its annihilation, we conclude that in the interim it is nothing more than a manifestation imagined to be visible within you, whose spiritual enjoyment never changes. We liken this universe to the transformation of various material substances into diverse forms. Certainly, those who believe that this figment of the imagination is substantially real are less intelligent. Namaste Sarasvati Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasati Gaura Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vachkam Durgis Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Pajitana Bhavadevyo Vaishnavadevyo Namo Yes. So the personified Vedas are continuing their rather complex technical description of reality in the context of the reality being a manifestation of the Lord. Of the Lord's energy, of the Lord's intelligence, and in terms also of how it is mistaken by different observers and different participants in material existence, it is mistaken to be things which it is not really, and as a result of that, of course. in different ways the conditioned souls. Those who are not devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those who are not devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they get into different states of confusion. There are many different states of confusion they get into. And like this, they become entangled within their confused conceptions and understandings and the different ways of life that they develop on the basis of their different understandings and perspectives on material existence and reality as they perceive it. Well, they become entangled in different ways, many different ways, and it's very interesting. And it's a great shame also. It's a great shame. So, in this particular verse, well, it begins at least by pointing out, as Lord Brahma says actually in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, or as the Lord rather, excuse me, says to Lord Brahma in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Ahame Vasa Evarga, Nanya Yad Sarasaparam, Pascha Aham Yad Eta Shcha, Sovishishita, Soshniyakam, Lovishishita. So scared that before I existed, nothing existed. Before this material creation, nothing existed. While this material creation is here, then things are existing. While I am here, things are existing. And afterwards, everything will be gone. In other words, everything is dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and nothing has a substantial existence independent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the following verse, the Lord says, Vitaritam yakratiyetam akratiyetachatmani tadvidya atmano mayam yata vaso yata tamah. That everything, you should know that everything which appears to be real, independent of me, has no real existence. Just as light reflected into darkness has no real existence of its own. Generally, this is what people think. They think that this material world has an existence of its own. Just on its own. Independent from anything else, whatever anything else might be, ultimately, of course, from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, materialistic people think that it has its own natural existence, which it is the source of, it is responsible for, and which is dependent completely on it and nothing else. But the Lord says in that verse, it appears to be a reality in those terms, but in a similar way to how a reflection of light in a dark place appears to have its own existence. But it's just a reflection of a light from somewhere else, which is being reflected into a place which is otherwise dark. And it is not that that dark place is the source of the light. It's a simple example in a sense that in a building there may be some room inside which has no windows, no access to light, but somehow or other, perhaps with a mirror, or some mirrors, you may reflect the light from outside. You may reflect it into the dark room. And now you think, just see the room. It has light, in fact. It has its own light. Very good. Well done, room. Congratulate the room for having its own light. But actually that room is a dark room. It has no light of its own. But the light is being reflected in. And the room is simply dark. So this material world appears to be substantial in different ways. But its existence is illusory. Obviously, as pointed out here, not illusory in the sense that it just doesn't exist at all, like a total hallucination. But it has no substantial existence of its own. It's completely dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the presence of the living entities within it. That is really how the material world is working. That is why it is able to function. Otherwise, material world minus the living entities and minus the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you basically have pradana, the raw state of the material nature, where not even the material elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego, not even the material elements are manifest independent from each other. So you can see there's some earth, over there's some water, somewhere else is some fire. It's just everything is a big mixture. The unmanifest material nature in that truly raw state of pradana. This is the material world. When the living entities are not present, and when the Supreme Personality has withdrawn his potency. But because those things are there, well, the material world looks very nice. It looks very convincing. And people are very convinced. What a wonderful place. We can enjoy this place. We can utilize this place to advance our material desires and carry out our material plans in order to achieve happiness. But it doesn't work. That we see. Material life does not work. Even though people are trying their very best, extremely enthusiastic, to get pleasure through contact of the material senses with the material sense objects, we see that the process does not work. Or certainly it does not work very well at all. For example, just my typical example, certainly people like to stop cigarettes because they get something from that. Material senses and contacting that sense object, some small stimulation comes, but it's very small. There's no lasting satisfaction. And so they have to go on for years, again and again and again, smoking in order to somehow get something, and then it's lost, and then get something again, and then it's lost. This is typical of material existence. It looks good, but because it has no real substance in material terms, so it cannot deliver what the people are looking for in it. And like this, the conditioned souls are just going on and on and on. Within each lifetime and then lifetime after lifetime, they're just going on and on and on, trying to find enjoyment, but failing to find enjoyment. Although it looks good, and they feel very convinced. Shankaracharya, he gives the example of thinking a rope to be a snake, or a snake to be a rope. You're thinking that something is one thing, but it is not that thing, it is something else. So, in material life, the snake of material existence is very unpleasant. But it looks like a rope, people are grasping, trying to utilize it, but then they get bitten by the snake of material existence. So he gives this example to illustrate his point that Brahma-satya-jagat-vidya, that Brahman is truth, but the material world is false or misleading. That the material world, it doesn't really exist. It is Brahman, Brahma Satya. Brahman is truth, Brahman exists. So actually we're looking at Brahman, but we think we see the material world. And this is false, and as a result we become very caught up. So, Ramanujacharya, looking from the Vaishnava perspective, he makes the very important point that if you think that a rope is a snake, that's one thing to make that mistake. To think that what is Brahman is this world, and then get caught up in this world. That's one thing Ramanujacharya says, but the thing is, how is it that you think that the rope is a snake? If you have had no experience of a real world, of real, of a reality, somehow we assume, oh, look at this world, it's real. Ramanujacharya's point is, how could we be inclined to think that it's a real world if we have never experienced a real world? So, his point, and it's one of his main points in defeating Shankaracharya, is that the fact that we're so easily attracted to the material world, and so strongly attracted to the material world, the basis of that is that we have had experience of a real world before, the spiritual world. We've had that experience, therefore now we can easily be attracted to something which appears to be like that. Otherwise, if we had no experience of it before, if all we knew was Brahman, just that homogeneous oneness, how could we get so attracted and so easily attracted to the point that to get out of it is practically impossible, at best it's extremely difficult to get out of material existence. So a devotee then is a person who's able to see through the surface level of material existence and see that beneath the surface of material existence there is a spiritual reality, which the material existence is based on in many ways, although misleading ways, but beneath that there is a spiritual reality which we have known before and which is our natural home, and which if we start cultivating Krishna consciousness, then after a little while we find that we can become very absorbed in Krishna consciousness, very happy in Krishna consciousness, even within the material world. And we can actually become independent of the material world while living within it through engaging in the process of devotional service. So this is a devotee. A devotee is the person who can see through that veneer, the veneer of material existence, that, oh, it looks very nice, and it looks like we can do so many nice things in it and enjoy material existence. Devotee is a person who can see through that and see that beneath it, at least understand that beneath it, there is a spiritual reality. And if we engage our senses in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and engage the material objects in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then, oh, everything changes. Everything becomes very wonderful. Very, very wonderful. And as one progresses, gradually material existence, it seems more and more pale, insubstantial, and unable to offer anything of any value in terms of enjoyment. Yes, so beneath it all is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The example being given here is within the verse and a little more elaborately in the third point, is that different material objects are just transformations of different material ingredients, elements or ingredients like clay, gold. The examples of these things are given. You can transform clay in so many ways. And you can make it into bricks and make huge buildings. And you can make pots and whatever. But in the purport, the Chandogya Upanishad verse is quoted, is actually from the commentary of Sridhar Swami. He quotes this verse from the Chandogya. Is it Chandogya Upanishad? Yeah. That if you understand a single lump of clay, then you can understand anything made of clay. Even though so many things are made of clay, and even some very beautiful things are made of clay, but if you understand just a single piece of clay, then you can understand all those things. Or Sridhar Swami again, he's quoted here saying that Gold is transformed into crowns, earrings, bangles, ankle bells, and so many things. But really, even though they may look very nice and they're made very expertly, but still, they're gold. They have that single characteristic and very fundamental characteristic which is shared between them. So similarly, the whole material world, all the material elements should not be seen separately from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because he is behind it. The elements, earth, water, fire, air, and ether, and different things made from them, like gold, like clay, they're just manifestations of his energy. So like this, the devotee should not see anything, Sri Kaswami says, separate from the Lord. Now, of course, in one sense, what is being presented here is a very philosophical perspective on that principle. But ultimately, the devotee is able to see everything in relation to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, ultimately not simply in philosophical, analytical, intellectual terms, but the devotee sees things not separate from Krishna on the basis of his or her loving relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As Chaitanya Charitamrita states, Sarva Janyamage Deki Na Deki Tarva Murti Sarvatra Haya Nija Ishta Deva Sporti. The devotee looks around and sees the material world. But the devotee does not exactly just see the material world, as people in general are just seeing the material world. Ishta Deva Spurti. Ishta Deva Spurti. As the devotee looks around seeing the material world, the devotee sees that my Lord is here, my Lord is everywhere. And therefore the devotee cares about the material world in those terms. This is the basis of the devotee's sort of like ecological ideas and ideas of respecting, not abusing, not exploiting material nature, that the devotee sees the Lord is there. Spurti, this is the term used in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and even in the very deep, very profound descriptions of pure Krishna prema, the concept of, for example, the gopis in Vrindavan, looking around and seeing Krishna here and there, and seeing Krishna everywhere, even though Krishna had left Vrindavan, the term spurti is used. They would see a type of manifestation. They would see a dark tamal tree or a dark monsoon cloud, and they would see, Krishna. And they would see manifestations of Krishna in those terms, even though in another sense Krishna was elsewhere. And a nice example is given. Nice example is given of Mother Yashoda. That Mother Yashoda, when Krishna goes out to herd the cows, then Mother Yashoda is left at home. And of course she feels great, great separation from Krishna. Now that Krishna's gone out for the day. But she carries on. She carries on with her household duties. So Mother Yashoda is cleaning the house. She's cleaning, cleaning, and suddenly she sees, oh, a pair of Krishna's shoes. A little pair of Krishna's shoes. And of course she's already remembering Krishna. It's not like she forgot Krishna at all. She's already remembering Krishna. But when she sees Krishna's shoes, and she immediately understands, oh, these are Krishna's shoes. Then there's a flood of remembrance. Even though she's already completely remembering, now she is even more than completely remembering Krishna just by seeing his shoes. And she picks up his shoes and holds them to her heart and cries tears of ecstasy, just thinking, oh, Krishna. They are Krishna's shoes. It is not just that she is a shoe fan, something like shoes. They are Krishna's shoes. And as a result, her love for Krishna is stimulated very strongly. So, a devotee who's fixed in love for Krishna, absorbed in love for Krishna, absorbed in devotional service to Krishna, sees the whole world as Krishna's world, and therefore loves the world in that sense, that it's all Krishna's. So we must look after it all and utilize it all in Krishna's service. In this way, of course, the very advanced devotee, is seeing this material world in very different terms to how the materialistic person is seeing this material world. We can conclude by just telling you one little story. Some of you may be familiar with it. Of Srila Prabhupada in this regard, that when the Jew temple was just in the early stages of planning, actually, they hadn't even started any construction, just getting the drawings together, etc. Then Prabhupada would check from time to time the plans and make different suggestions and give different directions. One time, the architect showed Prabhupada the drawings for the driveway. The driveway, which comes in from the main road to the entrance of the temple, to the entrance of the guest house. So he showed Prabhupada, and Prabhupada looked at it and said, "But there's a tree there. There's a tree there where this driveway was shown on the map." And Prabhupada told them that we can't cut down the tree. And the devotee said, "Well, the city authorities say we have to have big driveway, two lanes, like a road, because it's a big public place and, you know, they said this is the place to put it, and the tree is in the way. We'll have to cut down the tree." And Srila Prabhupada said, "No, go back and tell them. We have to redesign the road." So the devotee went back, but the city authorities would not allow it. And the devotee came back and told Prabhupada, "Well, sorry, we had to cut down the tree." And Prabhupada got angry and said, "You go back and tell them. It is against our religion to cut down trees." So the devotee went back, and they got permission to design the driveway to go around the tree. Yeah. And that tree is still there. It is still there. And you can go to Jubu and see that tree in the middle of the driveway and know that Srila Prabhupada saved that tree. And not just because he's an ecologist, you know, save the whales, anti-global warming type of person, but because he's a devotee. And he feels for the whole world, because it's Krishna's world, and therefore he's concerned. So of course we're not on that level. We're not on that level at all, but at least from the philosophical point of view, we must try to cultivate this perspective on the material world. And if we practice Krishna consciousness very nicely and chant and really absorb ourselves nicely in Krishna consciousness, gradually the realization will come that all these things made of different material elements and all these different material manifestations, none of them are independent of the Supreme Lord. Ultimately, none of them are separate from the Lord, and we have to relate with them and care for them and engage them in those terms. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.